This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 20th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Profitability at the big three U.S. automakers is under stress, and that means job cuts. But what does the job picture look like for manufacturing? Dan Eikenson is a trade policy analyst at the Cato Institute. General Motors has announced its largest ever loss by an automaker. They have decided that to restore profitability, they'll offer incentives, trying to convince older, more highly paid assembly workers to retire early. Ford and Chrysler are pursuing similar tax. The idea is that foreign competition is just much more competitive than it ever has been before. Now there is a great deal of fear that the best U.S. manufacturing jobs are in serious jeopardy because of that.
There's a tendency to conflate the fortunes of the big three with the fortunes of the auto industry overall. But the fact is that the U.S. auto industry comprises GM, Ford, Chrysler, the big three, as well as Toyota, Honda, Nissan, and European and Korean producers now. The U.S. big three have not been doing as well as those other companies. But it's not because of foreign competition per se. It's actually domestic competition. It's competition coming from other auto producers, foreign nameplate producers, that are outperforming the big three. One of the reasons is that the big three made a lot of bad choices with respect to what products to produce. They were making products that Americans didn't want to consume. They vested a lot of their production in SUVs, and SUVs have fallen out of favor as oil prices have risen. And also the big three has relied for decades on unionized labor. And unionized labor, the unions have extracted concessions from management that management really couldn't afford. Work rules that required that even if workers were laid off, they would still need to be compensated at 95% of their salaries. That deterred the big three from ever laying off workers. And in fact, they kept producing even when the economy was slowing down. And as a result, throughout this decade, the big three has been forced to offer 0% financing for 6 years or giving $6,000 cash back incentives because they produced much more than they recognized that would be consumed in the United States.
The number that continues to be thrown around in the media, perhaps conflating things that shouldn't be conflated, is 3 million manufacturing jobs lost between 2000 and 2006.
That's a bit of an exaggeration. Indeed, the U.S. manufacturing sector lost about 2.8 million jobs between 2000 and 2003. In 2001 and 2002, we did have a fairly serious recession in manufacturing. But politicians, those with an agenda who wish to blame foreign competition and wish to erect trade barriers, like to suggest that we have lost 3 million manufacturing jobs since 2000, as though the trend were continuing.
Well, what's the trend now?
The trend has reverted to its historic average. About 300,000 jobs have been lost in manufacturing since 2004. Manufacturing employment peaked in 1979. Since then, it's been trending downward. But at the same time, manufacturing output has been trending upward. Year after year, we set records in the manufacturing sector with respect to output. And when you put those two statistics together, declining employment in the sector, rising output, what you have is that's a reflection of rising productivity. And rising productivity is really the wellspring of rising living standards, and that's something to champion and to be happy about and not to oppose.
For workers, that's all well and good. Manufacturing is very strong. The output is reaching all-time highs. The only metric where manufacturing is not doing well, according to many advocates for workers, unions, etc., is the only metric that people pretty much actually care about, which is whether or not they can continue to be employed in that sector.
Right. Well, I think they're concerned about whether or not they can be employed. And the U.S. economy has done a marvelous job of creating jobs year after year. In the past quarter century, on average, each year, the U.S. economy produces 1.8 million net new jobs. On a monthly basis, there is a lot of job churn. We create a lot of new jobs each month, and a lot of jobs are eliminated. But on par, Year after year, we've created 1.8 million net new jobs per year. And the U.S. economy is predominantly a services economy. Manufacturing, whereas output in manufacturing continues to rise, manufacturing share of GDP has been declining. It peaked in 1953. So that is testament to the strength of our services sector, and there are plenty of jobs available in that sector. The complaint from manufacturing has been, or from unions has been, that those jobs are lower paying. That's no longer true. On average, services jobs in 2006, the wages in the services sector surpassed that of manufacturing.
And, you know, everywhere else in our thought process, the less we can do to get the same product, the better.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I mean, there is a story that has been told to convey the importance of productivity. Maybe the listeners have heard this before, but it's a story about an American who went to China and saw a bunch of Chinese workers building a dam. And there were about 100 of them with shovels. And the American said to the Chinese foreman, he said, "Why? What are these men doing?" He says, "Well, they're building a dam." He goes, "Well, why don't you just use 10 people and give them bulldozers?" He goes, "Well, then there would be unemployment." He says, "Oh, I thought you wanted to build a dam. If it's employment you're worried about, why not hire 1,000 and give them spoons?"
Dan Eikenson is Associate Director of Trade Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Read more on U.S. manufacturing at cato.org.